Apple's Vision Pro is the latest kid on the block when it comes to technology. But can you use it for music production and music creation? That's the question that I have and what we'll be chatting about on this week's show. Hello, my name is Pete Johns. This is Studio Live Today, and you are watching or listening to the Studio Live Today podcast. Each and every week, we talk about topics that are making the news or that might impact you as a creator, specifically a creator that perhaps is into the Apple ecosystem. We're talking your iPhones, your iPads, your Macs, your GarageBands, your Logic Pros, and Vision Pro headsets? What are we talking about here? Well, I'm going to break down a few things. I've been scouring the internet. I've been watching all the videos so you don't have to. Because I had the question, hey, are we going to be able to do anything cool related to music with the Vision Pro headset? Is it going to be worth throwing down 3,500 clams? Yes, that's how much it costs, $3,500 US, to get a device that maybe we can't even help our workflow or help create music. Well, that's what we're going to be discussing. We're going to be talking about what's happening now from folks who've actually already purchased it and started using it to create music. We're going to talk about the future, what some of the things that we could see in versions 2, 3, 4, and 12 of the Vision Pro from Apple in the future. And I'm going to talk about a few of the challenges that perhaps we're going to be faced with here moving from one platform to another. And a bit of a history lesson here before we get into it. I kind of foresee this a bit like when we went from desktop to iPad, or even if you want to go from analog studio to digital studio to a computer at all, because there are always going to be teething problems. There's always going to be challenges. Anything new is always going to be confrontational when folks first jump in and start looking at it or start using it. And the Vision Pro is going to be absolutely no exception. There is going to be everyone on every end of the scale. Just like when we went from analog to digital, there's going to be people that are going to be clutching onto their analog consoles until they get pried from their cold, dead hands. And there's going to be people that are going to jump straight into digital. When iPads came out, there were people that were bleeding edge, that were lined up on day one. They wanted the first version. They wanted to be part of that basically beta tester culture where they're going to be the first to try it out. And there were people that thought it was an absolute joke. And everyone in between. So I think if we just go with an in-between model, this is a brand new version one product. It is very much in its infancy. And we're not sure. It is untested in terms of whether it's actually going to help people. Are we going to be creating music by moving sounds around like Minority Report? Or are we just going to let it gather dust because, hey, we've already got platforms that work for music creation? That's what we're going to be discussing here. So, what's happened so far? Are people creating music using the Vision Pro? Well, yes. It's a yes with a big but, because the vast majority of music creation so far with the Vision Pro has been, drumroll please, people mirroring their Mac screen. So one of the best features of the Vision Pro headset, and if you're not aware, again, I've talked about it before and many people already know what the Vision Pro is all about, but it is a high-end, it's not augmented reality or virtual reality. It is what Apple are calling spatial computing. So instead of having a computer with a mouse and a keyboard and you stare at a 2D screen, instead you are immersed in a three-dimensional spatial environment. And part of that spatial environment that you can set up is a giant screen. Because you can imagine, if you are in a space that is virtual, you can have whatever screen size you want. You can actually just drag your screen out to as big as you want, because this is very close up, high definition, high pixel depth stuff. So what have people been doing? Well, guess what? They've been running Logic Pro and Fruity Loops and Pro Tools on their Mac and then mirroring that over to their Vision Pro. So there are some things that you can do, but the vast majority of people, funnily enough, haven't been using the cool gestures and the touches and things. They've been connecting up a Bluetooth keyboard and trackpad and using that. So a glorified 3D virtual reality screen for your Mac for $3,500, where do I sign up? Maybe that's for you. But that's definitely been the most practical way that people have actually been using the Vision Pro thus far. Is GarageBand on the Vision Pro yet? No. Is Logic Pro available for the Vision Pro yet? No. Any of those people that you've seen TikToks or YouTubes or screenshots or videos of them using that, It's all just mirroring their Mac screen. That's it. There's no actual native music production apps for the Vision Pro. Or are there? Well, not quite, but we're starting. We're starting to see something. For those watching the video version, I'm going to show you a couple of little things here, but you can play along at home because there are links to all of these in the show notes of the audio version or in the links below if you're watching the replay of the video version. The first app for music, quote unquote, creation that I've seen available is DJ. If you're an iPad user, you would be familiar with DJ, the DJ app. Well, it's available now in the Vision Pro, and you don't really have to see the screenshots to understand what's going on here. It's exactly what you think it is, right? It is exactly what you think. It is a view that you've got a couple of decks in front of you in a virtual space. And what you can do is you can grab virtual records, virtual vinyls from your virtual shelf, and you can virtually pull them out and you can virtually throw them on your virtual turntables and then virtually DJ and mix and cut to your heart's content. Now, again, this is an app that's available for Mac, for iPhone, for iPad, apparently for Apple Watch. I didn't realize that. That's kind of cool. I'm downloading and trying that straight after this show. There you go. But the Apple Vision Pro version is the latest incarnation and allows you to mix and scratch and resample and do all the remixes that you would like to do. So, yeah, if you're a DJ and you're a creator, is it going to be something you're going to be using a lot, or is it kind of a little bit of a fad, a little bit of something fun? You be the judge on that. Something that is a little bit cooler is our friends over at Moog. They have released an app called Animoog Galaxy. If you're familiar with the Animoog series, Moog have been all over the Mac and the iPad and the iPhone. They're doing a lot of software stuff lately. Of course, Moog, creators of the amazing Moog synthesizers, the original stuff. Well, now you can have a kind of virtual Moog synthesizer on your desk in spatial computing augmented reality. And you kind of got to see this thing. It is sound design meets spatial computing is what they say there. And yeah, look, it looks a little gimmicky to start with, but you've got yourself a little keyboard. You've got a 3D space where you can move things around. I like it because they're out there, they're trying things, they're doing things, and it could be something, especially for our synth head friends out there in the community, maybe you do want something like this. I said, well, as soon as this came out, I said, the killer app's got to be the virtual theremin. Who doesn't want to play a theremin in space in front of them with their virtual reality glasses? I would sign up for that. However, is it going to be a game changer? Is it going to help people create all the music? Maybe not, but maybe you use this, you create some cool synth sounds, and then you throw that into your Logic Pro project on your Mac. Who knows? We're here at the beginning. Next up, we have Spatial Symphony. Now, I couldn't find a lot about this, so it looks kind of similar to what Moog are doing. It's a synth editor. It's lots of kind of 3D blocks and things that you can manipulate with your fingers and move around, but I can only see some static screenshots at this point in time. No one seems to have even tried this one. So if you have found some videos, or perhaps you have a Vision Pro and you would like to try it out and provide some videos, I definitely want to see this in action because, yeah, it looks kind of, it kind of reminds me of like Lawnmower Man style virtual reality in terms of how it actually looks. It doesn't look particularly impressive, but maybe the proof is in the pudding, and maybe actually moving sounds around with your fingers could be a lot of fun. So Spatial Symphony from Hudson Heavy Industries is another one that perhaps we need to watch out for. And look, it wouldn't be it's not AR or VR, it's spatial computing, but it wouldn't be a pair of goggles in a nerd helmet if you didn't have games. And one of the games that you may be familiar with on other platforms is Synth Riders from Kluge Interactive. Not our friend Clayton von Kluge, but Kluge Interactive, unless he does make this game, who knows. So Synth Riders, think Beat Saber, think all of the games that are sort of action-based music rhythm games. That's what you get here with Synth Riders. The critically acclaimed immersive rhythm game is coming to Apple Vision Pro at launch. So I have seen folks playing this. It looks fun. It puts a very 80s neon retro style thing on your wall, and you flail your hands around then you duck and dive and have some fun with that. So that could be a bit of fun, not really a creative thing, but I thought I'd mention it here. And it is part of Apple Arcade too. So another reason to join up to Apple Arcade, as well as throwing down the 3,500 clams to be an Apple Vision Pro owner. So what do you reckon? Anything in there that spikes your interest? Early days. My view on this is very early days. It is cool. It's interesting. It's going to be good to be, again, sitting on the couch with the popcorn, watching folks do this. Do I think that the future is looking good? I don't know. I'm a fence sitter from way back, so I will reserve judgment for another month or two until we actually see some of the app developers get their hands on these. And hey, if Apple come out and say, here's GarageBand or here's Logic Pro for the Vision Pro, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm no longer going to say things because I'm the guy that put his hand on his heart and said, Logic Pro is never coming to iPad. It never will. Stop thinking about it. And then literally the next month, Logic Pro for iPad. So I don't know. It could be cool. Playing a virtual violin by just being able to do that in GarageBand, pretty fun. Virtual keys on a keyboard in space, pretty fun. I think there's a lot of things. The Erhu, being able to bow an Erhu, could be fun. So what about the future? What are we going to see? Are we going to see native apps being developed? We talked just briefly then about Apple, but what about Cubasis or Aurea or Fruity Loops, yes, your old FL Studio. What about Nano Studio? What about all of these developers that are developing apps for iPad? Because from what we've heard from developers, the Vision Pro ecosystem and infrastructure, it is basically like a big three-dimensional iPad. And in fact, you can run a lot of iPad apps directly on there. Unfortunately, they did the same thing they did with Mac M1, which is that even though it can technically run every single iPhone and iPad app ever made, app developers can opt out of that. So I don't know if there are any apps that have snuck through that are iPad apps you can use on the Vision Pro. But again, the interface, like we saw when we went from Logic Pro on Mac to Logic Pro on iPad, going from Logic Pro iPad even to the Vision Pro, it's going to be very different. Because even though it's touchscreen, having a 3D space with a touchscreen, if you don't change anything, it's just going to be as if a screen was in front of you. And hey, that might be slightly better than using a mouse and keyboard, but you're still basically just using a virtual iPad and doing exactly the same things. I don't know if that's actually going to float anyone's boat. I don't know if you're mixing a song, spending 3 hours with a helmet on, you're going to get better results than just sitting in front of a screen with a mouse and keyboard. But we could be in for a surprise. I hope so. What are some of the other cool things that we're seeing in the future? Well, the Vision Pro does have eye tracking, which is going to be very interesting for me because one of my eyes doesn't move very much, in case you've never seen me on video. So eye tracking is where you actually look at what you are doing and you can actually pinpoint things. So because you don't have any sort of movement with the Vision Pro, you actually click and tap and select by looking at something. It determines what you're looking at and you literally tap your fingers together and that selects things. So that could be kind of cool in terms of moving things around. And we're already seeing that with the Animoog and the Spatial Symphony kind of apps that, yeah, creating a 3D space and moving things around is pretty cool. That could be cool for things like Dolby Atmos mixing. So I can see that because we've already got, like, if you've got the sound there, you can also use headphones, you can use Apple AirPods as well. You could actually get Dolby Atmos sound by default. So instead of having to have a 10-speaker array in your studio, you could literally be mixing something and being able to hear all of the different components and flying them around in real time with your hands, as opposed to trying to imagine a 3D space on a 2D screen. So I think that could be kind of cool, and that could be a functionality that I think will be useful being in a 3D environment, to almost be able to look around and touch the space and also hear the space around you with 3D surround sound. The only other thing that kind of comes to mind straight up, and if you've got other thoughts and other ideas watching the video version, let me know down in the comments, or you can always hit me up, pete@studiolivetoday.com, if you're listening to the audio version, is things like visual EQ. So the ability to move things around in a space could be cool. If you can actually visualize it. Now, I've always said mixing with your ears, not with your eyes, is the best way to go. But if you're just able to see your frequencies and then be able to move things around and see right in front of you how things are changing, and if you want to do some visual kind of EQing, that you're doing some sort of adaptive EQ and things, I can imagine that, yeah, you take a visual EQ and you put yourself into the space and you can actually see your waveforms and you can see your different frequencies. That could be kind of cool. You could actually be seeing the music as well as hearing the music and then adapting and using some different plugins. We've never really thought about this because for the most part, music has been stereo and two-dimensional. But as we move into the future, we're probably going to see a lot more Dolby Atmos and Dolby Digital and surround sound, and also a lot more spatial video. So even outside of Apple, we could see a time in the future where a music video is a 3D music video, or it's a 360 degree video. There's already a lot of 360 degree videos using the sound with something like that and being able to hear how your song sounds facing in different directions or flipping right around and from behind you. It could be interesting. So there's options. There's things there in the future. I don't think it's just like it's a dud. It's not going to help anything. But like most things, it's not all one or all the other. There's some interesting things in there that I think need to be considered, but it's not necessarily going to be the be-all and the end-all. What are some of the problems that we're going to see? Well, let's start with the most obvious one, and that is the price. So at the moment, at least $3,500 US. Here in Australia, for us, that's around about $6,000 Australian. And then you've got to buy additional storage. That only comes with 256 gigabytes of storage. You need to buy a case for $200 if you want to, you know, protect your investment, not smashy when you're moving it around. So it is the barrier to entry around price is big at the moment. Now, will that come down in the future? Will there be a version 2? Is there an SE model around the corner that folks like me can afford? Maybe, but at the moment, price is pretty prohibitive. Connectivity. This is all wireless, which if you're in the professional or even semi-professional or even hobbyist audio world, you'll know that connectivity is king. Having a hardwired connection for things like headphones, for things like audio interfaces and microphones is kind of pivotal. Sure, you can use Bluetooth. MIDI has come a long way and is much lower latency than it was in the past. But wireless audio, Bluetooth audio still doesn't cut it when it comes to audio production, in my opinion, and in the opinion of most folks out there. So not being able to connect up. Now, there is the good news is that there's a developer cable, there's a developer band, a developer kit that is another $300 that actually does have a USB-C port, which apparently does have Thunderbolt capability. So it's not that it can't, it's that it doesn't. So from a consumer point of view, Apple don't want you connecting things to this right now. They want you connecting the battery to it, but they don't want you connecting any peripherals, any third-party stuff that's not wireless, because they want this to be a wireless experience. So can you imagine someone with like a Thunderbolt dock hanging off the side of their head and like four different audio devices plugged into it? I mean, it's going to happen. Someone's going to do it. If you can think it, someone's already doing it or planning to do it right now. Having to have like a powered hub so you connect it up to AC power and then, yeah, fun times, right? So connectivity. Storage, we talked about. You do have to pay for additional storage, up to 1 terabyte. In terms of music production, I've got a 256 gigabyte Mac, and it is a challenge because if you have any sample libraries, if you have large projects, if you have large audio files, and especially if you're working on video, you're going to run out of space in a big hurry. Yes, you can upgrade to a terabyte for an extra $400 or $500, but even a terabyte, it gets eaten up pretty quickly with high quality. And if we're getting into the world of Dolby Atmos and 3D audio, yeah, that's going to be used. Think about stereo, two channels. Think about now having like 10.1 channels or 10.2 channels. That's a lot more information, a lot more data. Your file sizes are going to grow exponentially as you move into that world. So storage going to be a problem. And let's not forget battery life. So at the moment, even doing light tasks, these things are lasting around 3 hours. If you were running something like GarageBand or Logic Pro and you had screens up there and you were using your virtual violin and strumming your virtual guitar, you're going to get, what, hour and a half, 2 hours of total battery time? Yeah, it's going to be a challenge to be able to have enough battery to do what you want to do. So what's my conclusion out of all of this? What do I think you should do? Right now, be like me. Sit back and relax and watch, because there really is no hurry with this stuff. This is very much, just like the iPhone 1, just like the iPad 1, this is the very first. This is the very start. And just like the iPhone didn't even have cut, copy and paste on its first version, having the Vision Pro with a wired battery, with low battery life, which costs a fortune, which doesn't have the apps or the support from developers, yeah, if you dive into it right now, you're probably going to be disappointed, because it's not at the point where a regular music producer or creator is going to have the tools and the things that they will want or need to create music using this. However, in the next version and the version after that and the version after that, are we going to get there? Well, probably. The iPad 1 didn't have a whole lot of connectivity options. It had a 30-pin connector, which was slow and clunky, and you had to buy an adapter, and it very rarely worked properly to record. Then we went to Lightning, now we're at USB-C. The processing power between like an A4 chip from 10 years ago and the brand new M2 and M3 chips is night and day. We've come a long way, baby, and there's no going back when it comes to our iPhones, our iPads, and our Macs, and this will go that same direction. Will it be successful and something as a creator tool, or will it remain, as many folks have said, more of a consumption device than a creation device? Only time will tell. But I, for one, am going to enjoy sitting back and relaxing. I did want to give a shout out to a few folks. I watched a bunch of videos to put together the information and the insights for this video. So shout out to L. Dre, to 30 Killer Beats, to Audio Edges, to Above the Clouds, to Synth Samurai, and to the DJ for Apple Vision Pro. I've got links to all of the videos down in the description if you're watching the audio version, or in the show notes if you're listening to the audio version. The video version is in the description, the show notes of the audio version. So you can jump down there and watch the, if you want to get all the information, if you want to see folks that are actually using this device and maybe ask them some direct questions or give them ideas for future content, feel free to go and do that. If you liked this video and you're here on the YouTube, feel free to hit the thumbs up button. You can also join, become a member of this community by joining up and becoming a member and getting the perks like your little emojis and your little badges that you get on YouTube. Or you can join us over on Patreon, as many folks have done recently. And I thank all of you for your support there. If you're listening on the audio version, I would love for you to leave a rating or a review on wherever you are listening to this podcast. And you can go to studiolivetoday.com for all the ways to interact with me and with the channel. I'd love to hear from you there. That is going to do it for this week's podcast. And at the end of each podcast, what do I say? I say, please, for the love of your deity of choice, be kind to yourself this week, be kind to others, and keep creating. I'll see you next time.